Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Do you want more football between Sunday Super Bowl 55 on CBS and the National Football League's next season kickoff this September? If you do, prepare for American Sevens, the league in business for some time, and finally making a big TV splash this spring. Founder Shanair Crocuses joins me next. Our second half hour spotlights an effort to bring more women into the unscripted television universe. Details ahead from Every Woman Studios' Chief Executive Officer, Abby Greensfelder. Also ahead, HBO explores a celebrity scandal, our classic trivia question, and The Equalizer, the original CBS series 1980s, is our show to know. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, on this pre-Super Bowl Friday, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Great to have you with us before Super Bowl 55 on this Friday afternoon here on the program about TV's current and future. When we left you in Monday of this week, we were in the middle of a pouring snowstorm. Well, far cry from it today. 45 degrees, very sunny. Snow is melting here in the New York metro area. We're delighted to have you with us. Some great guests coming away over the next hour. Got to get to it, and we want to get to it with you being involved. So pick up the phone, give us a call. If you have any questions or comments for our guests? And the number you use is 646-652-2906. 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. And don't forget, while the show is on the air, if you don't want to use the phone, that's no problem with us, because we got a chat room for you, and we'll get your questions or comments that way. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And our very good friend, Whitbread from Philadelphia, is already in the room. While the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, TuneIn screen, follow the instructions, and other things live with you. From the American Sevens Football League, founder Shanair Crocuses will be joining us live from Buffertown, Florida, not far from where Super Bowl 55 will be played after these news notes. The sexual abuse and child custody scandal involving Woody Allen and Mia Farrow will be explored later this month on HBO. Allen v. Farrow, running in 4 episodes starting February 21st, promises to break new details on the situation using a mix of investigative reporting, court documents, new interviews, and audio tape recordings presented for the first time in public. The documentary miniseries will get a second run on HBO Max. Disney Television Studios is launching a new creative acquisitions venture out to obtain rights to books, podcasts, news reporting, and other sources for new series and miniseries on television. Projects emerging from these sources will appear on ABC, Hulu, Disney Plus, Freeform, and other Walt Disney-owned television outlets. Time for quickies. Higher Ground, the Obama's production company working with Netflix, announced 2 new TV series under development there this afternoon. Indian reservation drama Firekeeper's Daughter is the scripted effort. The other is a great national parks nature presentation. The long-planned series adaptation of The Man Who Fell to Earth has its leading player, Tewendal Ejiofor, the Oscar-nominated actor for 12 Years a Slave. The series will play on Paramount+, currently now CBS All Access. Lisa Vanderpump's next TV gig will be Overserved, as an outdoor dinner party set unscripted series starting on E! March 18th. Bravo will serve up a second season of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. The first season will conclude in the next few weeks with a reunion special. An Oscar-winning actor, Christopher Plummer, many of you know him, you see him every year as the co-star of The Sound of Music on ABC, has passed away at age 91. His TV credits include an Emmy-winning performance in the 1977 NBC miniseries The Money Changers, based on the author Haley bestseller, and co-star of the 1990s USA Network series Counter-Strike, which ran for 3 seasons from 1990 to 93 there. Christopher Plummer, again, passed away at the age of 91. And that is news notes for today. Well, with all the talk about Super Bowl 55, and there's plenty of it today and all through this weekend, some people may wonder, well, what do you do about football after this Sunday night on CBS? Well, over the decades, starting in the early 1980s, we have had all sorts of attempts at late winter spring football, United States Football League, the World League of American Football, and last year, the XFL, Round 2, which actually was working before the pandemic and is going to come back next year with the new ownership headed by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. However, what you might not know is that for the last couple of years, there's been a very interesting spring football league that's been around. Why you haven't heard about it a lot? Well, it doesn't get a lot of television play. It's called American 7. It's 7-on-7 football. It's tough football. And it has as many teams as the National Football League. But this year is something different because this year it is finally getting major TV play. And here to talk about it in an internet radio exclusive is the founder of the league, joining us live from Boca Raton, Florida, Chenier Casoras. Chenier, welcome in.
Hey, thank you, Simon. Great to be with you and to talk about A7FL. No pads, no helmets, tackle football. What can be better than that?
How did you get it started?
My partner, Ryan DePaul, is the co-founder of the league, and he came up with these rules in New Jersey after suffering from concussions playing in high school and college, and he wanted to create a little bit of a safer game, but at the same time, keep it exciting. And little did he know at the time, it was in 2014 that I saw what he was doing recreationally with the sport. And at that point, I just knew it. It hit me like lightning. This is going to be the future of football. This is the national sport, and this can be international as well for so many reasons. And so we started the A7FL in 2015.
How have you been able to keep this league going pretty much under television's radar screen?
You know, honestly, we are on TV with 11 sports. They're on DirecTV, Fios, and UVerse. But you're right, we're not on the typical ABC, CBS, ESPN at the moment because we're growing from the grassroots. And what that means is we've created a huge fan base, over 600,000 followers, and we've generated millions and millions of views around the world. So we've really got a lot of exposure on a very affordable budget, of course, bootstrapped and growing the league. And now we're finally raising investment through equity crowdfunding. We have over 500 investors across the country who have invested in us at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And I want to point out that in addition to 11 sports, this year you're on a number of satellite services, DirecTV. You're also on Fios TV from Verizon. You're on AT&T's UVerse, and you're also on Roku and Facebook Watch and Portal TV. So now you're getting the smart TV sets and smart device. I'm going to get into how you were able to get those deals in a moment. But and by the way, we have a caller coming in, so we'll get to that caller in a second. But first, explain the rules of American Sevens and how it is similar to the National Football League or other spring or the spring football leagues we've had over the decades and how it's different.
Yeah, the obvious, no pads, no helmets. 7-on-7, but this isn't flag football. This is hardcore tackle football. And but at the same time, in many ways, it elevates head safety for our players. Similar to rugby, when you remove the helmets and the hard shoulder pads, your instinct takes over. And as an athlete, that means you're keeping your head out of the tackle instinctually. It's called risk homeostasis. Not only that, we add to those rules. We have the most unique form of special teams. Again, adding safety. It's called the 3-on-1 special teams. We eliminate crack back blocks and blind sides. So you have 3 on the throwing team, 1 guy on the receiving team, and there's a lot of times where he breaks it loose for a return, and it's so exciting. Also, no kicking in our game. So no field goal posts. We actually played some of our biggest games out of minor league baseball stadiums. We call them baseball football doubleheaders. So we're the family entertainment. We're a great time to be had by everybody. Everybody comes together, and the local athletes get their time to shine and their time in the spotlight. And not only that, they can get on SportsCenter and all of the other great press and media we've received.
One more question before we go to the call. Is it separate offense and defense teams, or do the 7 players play both? And with that, I'm wondering also whether if you don't have field goals, Are there unique ways to score? For example, last year when we had the return of the XFL, there was this wonderful situation where you could go for 1 point, 2 point, 3 points after a touchdown, depending on where you spot the ball.
We do have something similar. We have the traditional 1 point and 2 point opportunities for the point afters. And, you know, our game is just unique. It's not the Me Too copy of your traditional NFL-style football. And that's why a lot of those leagues, actually all of them that you mentioned, have failed in the past, we believe. We have a unique product. Nothing else has come out of similar to what we're doing here, and that's why we've gotten so much traction. People love it as fans. They love it also as investors. It's wonderful. And also sponsorships are starting to come in as well, doubling over year, as well as viewership tripling and quadrupling, I believe. So the uniqueness of our product is really what we stand on. Our athletes are the core of that foundation.
All right, let's take a call and see what or hear what pops up. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? All right, hello, you're on the air. Go right ahead. All right, for some reason the person's up. We'll try again in a little bit. We have got the founder of American Sevens Football League, which is coming your way in various television forms this spring, Shanir Kakousis, and he joins us live from Boca Raton, Florida this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon, I'm with you live from Nueva York, 45 degrees top of the hour. Got a lot of melting snow all over the place here in the New York metro area. Delighted to have you with us this Friday before Super Bowl Sunday, 2021. If you have a question or a comment for our guests, make the call work, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We have three big episodes of our program coming your way next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at this hour. Coming up on Monday, we'll talk about a new series on Tubi. That's the Fox multi-channel bundle called Sangre Negra, Black Blood. It's a very interesting mix of Dallas and The Sopranos set in Los Angeles. You'll meet two of the key people involved with the program. One of them is the co-star. His name is Antonio McKay, and the other is Frank Pinnock. They're both executive producers, and we'll have both of them live. And then an interview that we've promised for some time, the senior vice president of Peloton, Karina Kogan, will be with us. And we'll talk about one of the big new trends in television this year, interactive fitness services. And Peloton is one of the leaders in that growing arena, an arena that now includes Apple, soon Samsung, and other people as well. Karina Kogan from Peloton and the duo from Sangre Negra on Tubi. So join us live, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised. And stay tuned. We have a big announcement about who's going to be on our Wednesday episode. It's an episode you will not want to miss. All right, let's see if we have our caller try it a second time. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. All right, no go. We'll try again down the road. If anybody else is out there wants to make the call, go ahead, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our good friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia is already in the room. Shanir, what kind of a struggle has it been for your league to get attention on a regular basis on television?
Great question. It has been a struggle because of the nature of how our league is evolving. Like I said, we're growing from the grassroots where we've established a huge digital following. But the linear television obviously is a bigger budget proposition. So that being said, it's really just a matter of time before we find those partnerships. We're actively in the market, having those discussions at the moment, and you can see the proof is in the pudding. When SportsCenter shares our highlights, we get 20 million views in one instant. The All Blacks rugby team comments on us. Barstool Sports writes about us. Every year we have this same pattern repeating, and every year we're building and getting bigger and better. We're making backyard football professional, and that's the beauty of what we're doing, and people love it.
Where do the players come from, And are there any superstars of a Patrick Mahomes? Let's say, who's the Patrick Mahomes, the Tom Brady, or the Aaron Rodgers of your league?
Yeah, we have the Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes in our league. There's no doubts about it. They just didn't get that opportunity for whatever reason, and there are a million reasons, and Patrick Mahomes knows them himself. He wasn't the best guy out there. There were guys better than him along the way. They just didn't get the chance for whatever reason. Injury, grades, family troubles, other troubles. And these guys are still out there. They're all over the country. These are the heroes, and these are the guys we're going to bring out the stories of.
Mm-hmm. Now, Sharan, in terms of the league, when does it start playing, and how many games will appear on television, whether it's 11 Sports, whether it is on the various series I mentioned, like Fios TV and Newverse, on Facebook Watch, on Roku, and other smart TV sets and devices, perhaps?
Yeah. Our season starts April 11th, and so you'll be able to tune in live. You'll be able to see us on all of those platforms. Of course, that could change, and if it does, we'll be announcing that through our website at a7fl.com and through all of our social media channels at a7fl.
Yeah. And by the way, with Roku, and how did Roku and Facebook Watch come on board this year?
So Roku has been a huge opportunity for us. The what they call OTT, over the top. Everybody is using Roku, Fire Stick. So we're actually on both platforms. We even have a few on Amazon Prime as well. So, you know, the opportunity is there because live sports is so hot right now. And the distributors have airwaves to fill. And what's better than America's favorite sport and something unique like we have? So I think it's just a recipe for success that we're continuing to build on.
Mm-hmm. Where are the teams located? And are there certain spots around the country that you don't have teams that you expect to add teams, let's say, in coming years?
Sure. Yeah, we're all over the country right now, the four corners, or just abouts. We're in San Diego in California. We're in Orlando / Tampa in northern Florida and central area. And then we're in our home, you know, where we grew out of. And that is where everything originated, in New Jersey. And we cover pretty much the entire swath of New Jersey, but we play out of central New Jersey. And Baltimore is what rounds it out, and such a great community in each of these divisions that we have, with all of the players on those teams. Like you mentioned, 32 teams this season that we're announcing. So we're growing and bringing more fresh faces into the league, and we'll continue to do that. Whether that is next in Texas, where we have so much interest. I'm surprised nobody's calling in from Texas and Las Vegas and, of course, L.A. Maybe hope, who knows, Snoop Dogg, who's shown interest, might be the owner over there, and that's what we hope for as we continue to move forward.
Now, 11 Sports, for those who don't know what that is, what is that service? And anything you're going to be producing the games for them?
That's right, yeah. So 11 Sports is a sports network. They have a lot of great programming. I think ours is actually some of the best performing programming on their network, if not the best and most engaging. So they are a new and up-and-coming emerging sports network. They've been very flexible, and we're grateful for their support. Over the last few years, they've really helped us to legitimize the league as we continue to build on that, moving it forward.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of sponsorship, how are you doing in terms of advertising? Who are some of the advertisers that have really decided to embrace the league?
This is a banner year for us. Right now, I could just tell you about one of our biggest partners and sponsors. And we're actually running our first promotion of the year during the Super Bowl with them. It's Diamond Sports International, betdsi.com, and they are a sports book, and they're serving all of the great activity that'll be going on around the Super Bowl this weekend.
We are talking about the league that's been around for quite a while in terms of late winter, spring activity. We're talking about American Sevens football. We've got the founder of the league, Shinier Kasouris, with us live from Boca Raton, Florida, not far from where that little game happening Sunday at 6:30 p.m. on CBS is happening, Super Bowl 55. And he joins us live this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. Yep, question or comment or many minutes with our guest. Make the call work, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Spread the word about what we're having for you on Wednesday afternoon. We have a special edition coming your way, and it is really, really special. Joining us live as our lead guest will be from the new CBS series inspired by Silence of the Lambs, Clarice, premiering next Thursday at 10 p.m. Pacific time, executive producer and co-writer Jenny Lumet. And yes, she is the daughter of one of the great film directors of all time, and before that, one of the early great TV directors of all time, Sidney Lumet. Jenny Lumet is our lead guest on Wednesday. And our second guest in our second half hour will be from the brand new version of Chain Reaction, coming later this month to GSN, Game Show Network, executive producer Jay James. Yes, for the third time, GSN is bringing back this popular series, 1980s, and they're doing it with the person who did the first revival of it on GSN 14 years ago, former Fuse VJ Dylan Lane. That's all coming up this Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Jane Lumet from Clarice on CBS, Jay James from Chain Reaction, all exclusive interviews right here on Tomorrow We Televise. Spread the word. Next Wednesday is going to be a very special edition indeed. Now, in terms of your schedule, how many games does each team play, Saran, and when do you have the playoffs and your big Super Bowl?
Yeah, so we play actually a seven-week regular season in each of our divisions. Each team plays each other twice. And after that, they go into a Final Four divisional game, and then we turn out the divisional champion from there. So in essence, we have a four-week postseason, and that comes into the National Final Four, where we'll have New Jersey, Florida, and California, and Baltimore all represented, and finally into the national championship. So all in all, it's an 11-week season. And it spans from April 11th to the mid-July.
And how is the coronavirus pandemic, or what looks hopefully like the tail end of this pandemic, how is it impacting how the games are going to be played?
Yeah, that's been an important topic. And last season, that was actually a rehearsal for us because we were the first football league back in action. I'm talking American football during the pandemic. We did it first, and we did it with an awesome sponsor, and that company is Oz Technologies, right around this Fort Lauderdale area. So they're a great company. And with their help, we not only have a COVID protocol, a COVID solution, and we also have a COVID testing provider. So when you put all those together with our regional structure, we were able to have a super successful condensed season, less teams, less people involved, and less games. But we had the first successful back in action tournament in 2020. It was amazing.
So as we get ready for this season, what's your biggest hope for this year now that you have more television coverage? And I got to ask you, who are you picking for Sunday?
Oh, great question. So first off, most importantly, what's the forecast for A7FL? We are having the best season of our existence coming up. And because we have teams from new divisions, we have teams for the first time and athletes who are coming out as free agents in our existing divisions. And you combine that with all of our partners and our team who's working on everything every day behind the scenes and the support of our investors and so many others. We are shaping up to have just the explosion of a season. Like I said, in the past, we've had millions and millions of views, but just in the last quarter alone, we did 20 million views in the last two quarters each. And so we expect to go way over 100 million views and really hit the country with our brand of football. Now, who's going to win the Super Bowl? I'm not going to answer that question because I love the A7FL so much. I don't follow the NFL. And there are a lot of guys like me also who just kind of got disillusioned with the NFL along the way. And they're looking for a new brand of football, something much different and unique. And that's what we offer.
All right. And we will leave it there. And before we leave, For our next subject, we'll let you know that you can catch two games of the American Seven Football League at 11 Sports. That's the network that's available coast to coast. Also, you can catch the games as well on Roku, Facebook Watch. That's on smart TV sets and smart devices. Also on Facebook's own smart TV device, Portal TV. It'll also be available on Uverse Cable Systems, Fios, DirecTV, and other places as well. If you want more details about the league, here's where you go, www.a7fl.com. That's www.a7fl.com. For more details about 11 Sports and all of their programming, including this league's activity, www.11sports.com. www.11sports.com. And the action begins this April. Shaneer Kuzuz is the founder of American Seven Football. Thank you so much for being with us. Good luck with your league this year. Hopefully more action to come in the years ahead. And enjoy yourself on Super Bowl Sunday, no matter what.
Thank you, Simon. Appreciate it. Pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Take care. Have a super weekend.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Shaneer Kuzuz is joining us live from Boca Raton, Florida, not far from where Super Bowl 55 will be played this Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time on CBS. We'll have our classic trivia question in a moment. First, some words to the fine folks at Audible.com. A wonderful book came out this week, or I should say in the past week, before the death of Cicely Tyson. It's her autobiography, Just As I Am. If you have not heard it, you have a chance to now with a trial subscription to Audible.com. Just As I Am has Cicely Tyson. She recorded the audiobook before she passed away last week. Also, Viola Davis is involved, too, in the narration and other wonderful people talking about a truly great talent in the world of acting. Just As I Am by Cicely Tyson. And you can get it right now if you have a trial run with Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from. And you can listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, Verbal, Amazon Music, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, health and wellness information, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And remember, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, guess what? Two audiobooks for the price of one, including maybe one for the growing catalog, fast-growing catalog, I might add, of Audible Originals. It's everything from original radio material and podcasts, plus great off-Broadway, Broadway and regional theater from around the country, and wonderful one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making today or this weekend a great opportunity to hear how Audible.com can transform the way you or someone you know can hear the world. Makes a great gift any time of the year. For all the details, audibletrial.com/televised. Now it's time for our classic trivia question of the week. It's our final time offering this question. If you're first with the correct answer, four prizes can be yours, including the Crazy Stupid Love DVD, wonderful book by a former guest, David Tice, from Public Entertainment Research, The Genius Box, How the Idiot Box Got Smart and is Changing the Television Business, another great book, The New Sopranos Tome Off the Back of a Truck, and from Telaria, The Clutch Plus Money and Card Clip. Here's the question, and it, of course, is in honor of The Equalizer coming back with a brand new Queen Latifah version on CBS this Sunday night after the Super Bowl, around 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Here's the question. Complete the name of this character from the original Equalizer series, Mickey Blank. Complete the name of this character from the original Equalizer series on CBS, Mickey Blank. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If first get the answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end today, we will post the question tomorrow on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, it's the last time we're offering this question. So get in the game today, and all the very best. When we come back, we'll talk to somebody who is making some inroads and having more women be involved in her world of unscripted television. Abby Greensfelder from Every Woman Studios will join us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradiospeakertune.com. Together, reach over 50 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, tonight, BTR brings you the Super Bowl 55 preview show. Check it out at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. The Super Bowl 55 pregame show exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, the best of BTR, including the Super Bowl 55 preview show, comes your way 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to our second half of Tomorrow Be Televised for this Friday pre-Super Bowl edition of February 2021. Simon Abba with you live from New York. Glad to have you with us. 45 degrees at the top of the hour. Snow melting all over the place here in the New York metro area. Another great guest coming away in the half hour ahead. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Just go interactive at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name, our good friend Rick Webb from Philadelphia, is in the room. Our second guest today has been in this program before. She is the top producer of unscripted television. And over the last 2 years, she has done her work through her own production company called Every Woman Studios. And now she has a campaign going, a very special campaign, to get more women involved in the unscripted field. Joining us live right now, Abby Greensfelder. Abby, welcome in.
Hi, how are you?
Very, very fine, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you back on the program. Where are you calling from?
I am calling from the nation's capital.
Washington, D.C.
That is it. That is where I am. It's snowy here.
So, Abby, talk about this new venture you've got with your production company to bring more women into unscripted TV, your neck of the woods.
The Propel Initiative is the name of the accelerator program I started. And the purpose of that was really to fill a gap that as a longtime first programmer of unscripted content and later as a producer of it for many years was readily apparent. You know, there aren't a lot of women running these production companies, which really is the ecosystem of the idea. So it comes down to, you know, who's crafting the idea and then who gets ownership of the idea in the sort of value chain of its production. And that's really where the value lies and a lot of the creative process lies is in those creators, the people that are creating the idea. So the goal of this was if we want to have more diversity in the stories that are told, especially as it relates to women and diverse perspectives of being a woman, we need to expand the the breadth and depth of the kind of women that are creating the content and helming the companies that are creating the content. So what we did after identifying that gap is to create this accelerator program where we get ideas, great ideas that women producers have, whether they be, you know, have their own companies and they're just not at a scale or size where they're able to get into the buyers, because increasingly it's a very narrow pyramid of people that are producing for these networks. So they may have their own companies, or they might be somebody who's hired to work as a sort of hired gun on unscripted shows. But whoever they be, we create a mechanism for these women to submit their ideas. And then we pair them with industry mentors, so heads of production companies and studios who know how to shape these ideas and craft these ideas and know what networks are working, you know, looking for. And so they're helping to workshop their ideas. And then we're setting up pitches to get these creatives in front of key buyers who would be interested in their ideas. And through that process, we're sort of unlocking potential for new creators, new voices to make it into the marketplace. Because for the sort of winning ideas or the ideas that seem viable, Every Woman Studios then will back those producers and those ideas to help make the project. So it's a very practical way and a practical pipeline to get more women creators into the ecosystem of unscripted.
How long had you thought about putting a pipeline like this together? And was there any inspiration from the growing number of incubators and accelerators, projects like Rideback, projects like Imagine Impact, which just made a deal with Skydance Television in terms of new series content, especially among people of color, that have been happening in scripted TV have been formed over the last couple of years?
Yeah. It's a good question. I had, when I started this company, Every Woman Studios, I knew that I wanted to do something to impact the industry that I knew well. I wasn't exactly sure what form it would take. I talked to a lot of people about what seemed to be broken and what wasn't working. I did envision something like this, but I did look to, you know, a place where this has been really successful is in tech and in business in Silicon Valley, this idea of the accelerator, where kind of a big company can help to nurture and set up smaller companies, sort of innovators, ideators. So I looked more to kind of that model and then looked at, like, where was that successful and how do you bring in diversity? And that's really around the mentors and their contacts too. So we went about purposely bringing in mentors who would have their own network. So the first year of the program, I brought in, besides myself, two other women as mentors. One, Jane Root, who runs a company called Newtopia, whose company is set up in London and in the States, but headquartered in London. So she has kind of a network of both folks in the States, but also in the UK. And then another woman named Julie Bristow, who had worked for years at the CBC and had a company set up in Canada doing unscripted. So she was able to bring that network and also be able to mentor and have perspective outside of the U.S. market. So that's the first year how I did it. And this year we have a real focus on also increasing diversity. So in getting women who companies and expertise and individually tell stories from diverse perspectives, not just the female perspective. So we have in the group a woman who helms Unscripted for a company called Macro TV Studios that was founded by the first Black partner at any agency. And they've done a ton of successful scripted projects like Mudbound and things like this in movies. But she... this company is someone who's specifically in the space of supporting and working with diverse talent. And so similarly, we brought in a mentor who helms a company called Culture House out of New York that does premium documentary and premium unscripted that's also helmed. And they're sort of a bracket Black and brown company and working with creators, filmmakers who are diverse. And we have two other mentors, one that works at Endemol Shine that does sort of big network format shows and another who does more docuseries for cable called Lucky Eight. So between those four, it felt like we have both diversity of markets within the industry and also diverse representation amongst the women themselves.
Incidentally, Jane has been on our show, Jane Root from Utopia, formerly with Discovery Channel, has been on our show with a number of projects that her company has done. And we were one of the first programs to interview Charles King, the founder of Macro,
yeah,
which has done really well.
Yeah,
in defense,
which is
also.
They're a very interesting business and have more recently gotten into the unscripted space, but have very smartly, and I looked at their model prior to starting Every Woman Studios, as a company that's purpose-driven but has commerce goals, but ultimately leans into the purpose-driven piece first. That I took a lot of inspiration from him and what he's done at Macro. Obviously, they started as a scripted company first, but I think their ethos and what they've built and how they've done it is something I took inspiration from.
Mm-hmm. And I might add that they are really out to make a big plunge into scripted and unscripted this year. Their first successes have been in film for the most part, but now they're really getting this to both into television in a huge, huge way.
Yes.
And I think we'll be hearing a lot more from them before the year is out.
Yes.
What did you learn
that is
from
true.
The first?
And...
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No. You were about to make a point, so I want to make sure you get the point in.
No, I was just going to say that what's interesting, if the nonfiction production and storytelling industry is does not have an ecosystem with many women at the top. Even more so, it does not have an ecosystem of people of color at the top. And so one of the things that I was keenly focused on with this is we don't do well if we're just focused on women. We have to also look at women and diverse women, because it's like a doubly big gap. And so that's part of why, particularly bringing in Culture House and Macro, who are important players in that market, one in more of a studio model, the other in kind of a boutique production company model, I think is really important, because you've got to have people who have figured out how to do business, who then can help mentor people that want to be in that business. So that was all I was going to add there.
Yeah. We're speaking with Abby Greensfelder. She is the head of Every Woman Studios, and they have been involved for the last year or so in a project out to get more, called Propeller, which is out to get more women into the unscripted side of television. Abby joins us live from Washington, D.C., the nation's capital, this half hour on this Friday of February 2021, number 5, before Super Bowl 55, coming up this Sunday night on CBS, which, by the way, afterward has the Queen Latifah version of The Equalizer. And more about The Equalizer, the original show, coming up, by the way, before the top of the hour. If a question or comment for Abby, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. In case you just joined us, coming up on our special Wednesday edition, happening on February 10th, our first guest will be someone very special, the executive producer and co-writer of the new CBS series inspired by Silence of the Lambs, Clarice Jenny Lumet. And yes, she is the daughter of one of the great film directors and before that TV directors of all time, Sidney Lumet. It's going to be something special. Jenny Lumet will join us as our lead guest next Wednesday on a special edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Also on the program, we'll have executive producer of the new version of Chain Reaction on Game Show Network, Jay James. And next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll showcase a new series on Amazon called The Hunters Anthology. We'll have the producer, Arizu Akmal, and the writer-director, Robert Smith, line. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Abby, what did you learn from Propel's first year that you applied to this? Well, we're going to get in a moment to the people who are going to be involved in the second year, because they were announced a few days ago this week. But tell us about how the first year went, and what did you learn from the experience?
Yeah. I think the first thing was that I originally started this because I felt that I wanted to give a pipeline for women and diverse women in the business, and I felt like it needed to exist. I didn't genuinely think that it would necessarily generate immediately sellable projects. I mean, that was the first and fundamental goal, was about making relationships and connections and mentorship for these women. But what I actually was surprised to find was that the quality of the projects were really strong, and also that the, with some sort of shaping and further development and so forth, that actually this, the sort of commercial and economic underpinnings of this could be really successful. And by that I mean, you know, most of the people that have these kind of ideas that they pitch, they're often partnered up with a production company, and their idea is just taken and they're given a passive fee on a project, but they have no creative investment. They don't ever meet the network folks. They have no ongoing relationship building associated with these projects. That's usually how a kind of lesser known creative, if they have an idea and they partner up with a production company, that's usually how it works. But what I found here was the quality of the projects were amazing. Because they came from non-traditional sources, I think the idea is really diverse and interesting and eclectic and had some great gems there. And when we pitched them to the networks, they all loved the pitches. They loved the actual ideas themselves, but I think even more so, they loved hearing from different kinds of producers who they'd never met before. So the idea, which I hadn't really thought that this would bring value to the buyers, I really thought of it as a value to the creators proposition, and I didn't necessarily think of it as value to the mentors or value to the buyers. But what surprised me was there was value to the buyers, and that's something I've been thinking about for this year and moving forward, is how can we use this accelerator to bring and create more diverse stories and pipeline for the buyers, because that's also a value. And the other piece that was a kind of positive unintended consequence is that the mentors all really enjoyed both the process of mentoring, but also the process of working together kind of in parallel as a group. So coming out of this process, I think that the mentors will all have some ongoing relationships and may do business together. And that, again, was not something I expected, but I think is a great outgrowth of this program. So really, I guess to summarize, you know, I viewed it as unidirectional, the benefits, but it ended up being multidimensional, the benefits. And so it's kind of like a sum with greater than the parts. And I guess that's ultimately the value of any kind of flywheel type value proposition. But now really we're focusing on, okay, how do we kind of dial up those flywheels? So we've added more mentors this year so we can have more projects. We've been targeted in the ways that we align them, because one of the things we learned is it's not just about great mentors. It's also what different kinds of shows they make and know about. So to have a mentor who does documentary film really well, and another mentor that does big format competition shows, and another mentor that does like character driven reality series, is actually good, because we got all of those different kinds of ideas. So having somebody that's used to developing the different kinds of shows, selling the different kinds of shows, and producing the different kinds of shows was an important piece of the skill set. So that's something else we learned. And this year, in aligning mentors, we tried to kind of nab folks that collectively represented all of the different forms that are, you know, most representative in our industry right now.
How has the first class of propelled candidates done in their year to sell shows and get them on a network?
Yeah. Well, of the projects, so we had about shy of 100 submissions the first year, and we had sort of 10 semi-finalists and three that went in that actually got mentored and we did pitches. So I guess it was 10 runners-up and three semi-finalists. We have active interest in two of the three semifinalist projects from buyers. And we have a third project, which was a runner-up that Every Woman Studios has partnered on, a feature documentary to work to get the filmmakers project sold. And then another project that was a runners-up that I was able to help that creator partner up with another production company, which happened to be my other production company, Half Yard Productions, that I founded. They did a development deal with yet another creator. So they're like five projects that have either interest, development deals, you know, ongoing business related to being in the accelerator, which I think is pretty great.
So talk about the candidates for 2021 and what their outlook is, especially given the fact that we have more networks than ever to deal with. You have broadcast, you have cable, you have multicast, and now you have all these mega services, you know, first generation Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Crackle. You have the second generation, the what I call the mega services, Apple TV Plus, Disney Plus, et cetera. You also have what's coming up, Paramount Plus. You also have services like Topic. You have all these new services that have started in the last year or will be starting this year on smart TV sets and
like
smart devices.
Plus,
and you also have Spanish language, which has the new Univision service coming on soon.
Yeah, it's an overwhelming, as you know, because you cover this world, it's an overwhelming proliferation of outlets. I think it's one of the reasons why it can be kind of overwhelming for people who aren't used to talking to buyers or selling ideas. They're used to making them or conceptualizing them. That we'll see. I think the interesting thing is that there are more homes than ever for buyers, but buyers also at the same time are being more bespoke about what fits for their individual brand. So I think our approach last year was to take the three ideas and pitch them to the same three set of buyers because we wanted to have parity in assessing projects. I think that this year we may find that in setting up pitches that we may better serve our creators by setting up three or four pitches that are right size for their projects so that they, given this proliferation that you're articulating and also kind of the individual nuances of each of them, which of course are always shifting, you know?
Yeah. Before we go, what's up with Terms of Every Woman? Aside from these projects, what's coming up from your studio this year?
Yeah, we have a, thus far in the projects that we're in production on or have been sold, we have a big feature doc that's in the sports space. It hasn't been announced yet, but we're making it for HBO Max with CNN Films. That'll come out this summer. And we have a, but it's sort of in the women in sports category. We have a food project that is coming off the line that's about a really cool company called League of Kitchens that hires immigrant grandmas to teach these immersive cooking courses in their walk-up apartments in Brooklyn and Queens in New York. And we're turning that into a docu television project in the food space. But as an Every Woman project, it's really about the story of home cooking and the story of women who pass down their knowledge through food. And then we're in development on, I don't know, about 15 to 20 projects in varying stages. We're partnering with a bunch of, you know, music celebrity related projects. We have the amazing accelerator projects that we're partnered on and are taking out. The first one that we'll be taking out is with the woman who won the accelerator, whose name is Kelly Salloway. It's the story of a woman who escaped Warren Jeff's FLDS cult. She was Warren Jeff's 65th wife, and she escaped by crawling out of a trailer where she was held captive. And it's sort of telling her story for the first time and also the story of this world of people who leave the FLDS, which is very much still alive and operating in sort of the central, you know, Midwest area like Colorado, Arizona realm. So we have a whole mix of things from sort of premium limited series to feature documentaries to long running series that we're developing. We have a podcast we're working on. So it's been really fun to kind of think about all the stories we want to tell. We have more stories we want to tell than we have time in the day. That is the good news.
And I'll tell you, who knows, podcasts are becoming TV series, Fast and Furious. You never, never know. For more details
That's
about
right.
Propel and about Abby's company, here's where you go online, www.everywomanstudios.com. That's www.everywomanstudios.com. And by the way, Abby, I just want you to know that whatever comes out of Propel in terms of new series, special and ever, we would love to have the producers on our program. So I want you to know that you have us as an opportunity to showcase the new talent that you are bringing together through the Propel project. Congratulations, Abby, on doing this.
We love that.
And hit them and all the very best to you and what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a lovely weekend.
You too, Abby. All the greatest. Take care.
All right. Be well. Bye.
Abby Greensfelder from Every Woman Studios joining us live from Washington, D.C. Now it's time for our regular feature, A Show to Know. We highlight programs that are worth watching, and you might not know about them because they're not well-marketed, but publicized, or they fall under the radar screen. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about The Equalizer, the new Queen Latifah version, and our Show to Know this week is the original version that went on CBS from 1985 to 1989, four seasons, produced in New York. This was a show that really got the movement to bring television production back to New York in a major way. I wish we could take a half hour to talk about this, because it was a show that I was personally involved with, having the opportunity to meet its star twice, Edwin Woodward, as well as its wonderful executive producer, James McAdams. If you've never seen The Equalizer, the original version, you ought to. It's available in box DVD sets. I think some of the episodes are available on YouTube. I wish the television network was running it in rerun form. But let me say this. It's one of the best TV shows, very underrated when it was on. Wonderful writing and directing. Woodward's performance should have won him an Emmy Award at least once or twice. The music score by Stuart Copeland, one of the best ever composed for television. Never was nominated for an Emmy, should have been. Great, great supporting actor. Wonderful talent that came out of that show, like Christian Slater and Vincent D'Onofrio. Wonderful cinematography by Jeffrey Erb, and great film editing by Robert Lovett. This was one of the really groundbreaking shows of the 1980s, and I'm thrilled it's coming back with Queen Latifah in the lead role. And she's got a great supporting cast, including Chris Noth, Lorraine Toussaint, and just wonderful talent. And again, the new version of The Equalizer is going to be on CBS right at the Super Bowl, 10 p.m. Eastern time in your local CBS station. More details, cbs.com. And once again, our show to know is the original version of The Equalizer. Some episodes are available on YouTube along with scenes of the show. Stuart Copeland's soundtrack, you also catch that as well on YouTube in video form and also available on DVD sets. And I hope some network, Antenna TV, VTV, somebody will bring back the reruns on a regular basis, because it really was one of the great TV shows of all time. And Edwin, wherever you are, we miss you here on Earth. You're one of the best actors around, and it was a pleasure to meet you and meet your executive producer, Jane McAdams, who is one of the very best, by the way, in the history of television. His credits include Kraft Suspense Theater, The Virginian, and the early season of Kojak. If you have an idea for a show to know, by the way, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you suggest on the air, you get the credit. So remember, in order to be in, play in, and all the very best. Thanks to all of our guests for being here today, all of you for tuning in. Don't forget, on Monday, we'll have two of the key people behind the new 2B series, Sangre Negra, Antonio McKay and Frank Pinnock, and we will have that long-awaited interview live with the Senior Vice President of Peloton, Karina Kogan. If you came to the Today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast version on iTunes, Apple TV, other places including Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Love to have your thoughts about our show. Give us a not on Facebook, on Twitter, and, of course, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. We love hearing from you, because what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants, those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate, BTR, is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of BTR, Al Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For 1 and 2 free audiobooks, 1 month trial, and more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Enjoy the premiere of The Equalizer on CBS again, 10 p.m. Eastern time, or whenever the Super Bowl ends in your area on your local CBS station. We are back on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, plus Amazon Music and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, as well as Verbal. Don't forget, whatever you're up to between now and then, be safe, be great, enjoy the Super Bowl, and let's lick this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.